Chair now recognizes Mr. Wesley Spurlock, past president and chairman of the National Corn Growers Association. Sir, you're recognized for 5 minutes and welcome.
Thank you, Chairman Shimkus, Ranking Member Tanako, and subcommittee members. I appreciate the opportunity to be here for the National Corn Growers Association. I'm Wesley Spurlock, and our family raises corn, cotton, and cattle in the Texas Panhandle. As producers of the primary feedstock used in ethanol, corn farmers have a strong vested interest in the future of transportation fuels. The Renewable Fuel Standard has created significant opportunity for the farmers. The RFS is one of the most ambitious and successful energy, environmental, and economic policies Congress has enacted, not only for farmers and rural communities, but also for our drivers, our air quality, and our nation's energy security. As use of homegrown renewable fuels has grown and as farmers have become more productive using fewer resources, the benefit of the RFS has exceeded the congressional projected. Agriculture met the challenge to help fuel America, not by putting more land into production, but by becoming more productive with existing resources. Farmers today produce more corn with less land because of the average has increased on corn by more than 25 bushels since 2007. Ethanol production creates value-added co-products such as distiller's grain for feed, corn oil for biodiesel, and the same corn provides food and fuel. The value added by ethanol and increased farmer productivity has had a positive impact on rural America, helping the next generation return to their family farms. But it's not only the farmers who benefit from the new renewable fuels. Renewable fuels save drivers money. Environmental advocates backed enactment of the RFS. The RFS is the only federal law that requires greenhouse gas emission reductions. Based on actual corn and ethanol production, the sustainability improvements in both, today's corn ethanol results in 43% lower greenhouse gas emissions than gasoline. Clean burning ethanol is the fuel that displaces the more harmful compounds in gasoline, reducing tailpipe emissions and improving air quality. Chairman Shimkus and Congressman Flores, discussion draft includes provision corn growers do support. In addition to the RVP parity that allows higher ethanol blends and lower evaporative emissions to be sold year-round, we also support more regulatory certainty when it comes to approval of the higher blends such as E20. We support a high-octane vehicle test fuel so automakers can expedite new optimized vehicles. However, NCGA believes this discussion draft would undo successful renewable fuel policy. The net impact of this proposal would not maintain the market access renewable fuels currently have with the RFS and offer opportunity to expand ethanol as an octane source. Corn growers support high-octane fuels such as mid-level ethanol blends. We know high-octane fuels would give automakers the ability to design optimized engines with greater fuel efficiencies and with fewer greenhouse gas emissions. Ethanol is the lowest cost, lowest carbon octane source. Today's corn production practices are increasing soil carbon sequestration and ethanol's carbon footprint is shrinking. NCGA recently submitted comments on the administration's safe vehicle rule outlining the fuel economy of emissions benefits from a high-octane, low-carbon, mid-level blend. We recommend regulatory steps that would remove barriers to fuel competition and high-octane fuel. An octane standard such as 95 RON that refiners can easily meet with current premium fuels cannot replace the market access for renewable fuels provided by the RFS. We cannot continue to reduce emissions with an octane standard that could be met by using octane from hydrocarbons. Chairman Shimkus, corn growers are grateful for your advocacy for farmers and the renewable fuels. We appreciate the time you have spent considering future transportation fuel needs. We also appreciate being asked to contribute to today's discussion. Second, the committee undertakes future legislative discussion. We ask that incoming Chairman Pallone and Tonko consider NCGA a source on renewable fuels policy and allow us to continue to work with the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair now recognizes Ms. Emily Skor, Chief Executive Officer of Growth Energy. You're recognized for 5 minutes and welcome.
Thank you, Chairman Shimkus, Ranking Member Tonko, members of the subcommittee. Thank you for the opportunity to provide our perspective on the discussion draft being discussed today. My name is Emily Skor, and I'm the CEO of Growth Energy, the leading ethanol industry association representing 100 producer plants, more than half of the industry's total production. A transportation fuel mix with more ethanol lowers costs for consumers, revitalizes our country's rural economy, and improves our environment. Our members thank you for attending to our 21st century transportation needs and recognizing the importance of high-octane fuel in continuing to advance these national interests. We have thoroughly reviewed the discussion draft and applaud the authors for, first, recognizing that octane plays a critical role in helping automakers meet fuel economy and greenhouse gas standards. Second, allowing the year-round sale of higher ethanol blends like E15. And third, granting federal approval for fuel beyond E15. Demonstrably supporting the research that affirms ethanol blends above 10% do not harm passenger vehicles. However, where we believe this draft falls short is in the assumption that the renewable fuel standard, the RFS, is broken and needs to be fixed. We wholeheartedly disagree with that perspective. In fact, despite years of mismanagement, the RFS has fulfilled its congressional intent to increase domestic energy supplies, improve farm incomes, and reduce carbon emissions, with the added benefit of lowering the price at the pump. By any objective measurement, the RFS has been an overwhelming success. Repealing the RFS is unnecessary and will further destabilize a struggling farm economy and ethanol sector. Moreover, the draft does nothing to stop EPA's continued misuse of the Small Refinery Exemption Authority, or even acknowledge the agency's unprecedented and possibly illegal use of this authority. EPA has already waived up to 2.25 billion gallons of biofuel blending, undermining demand by failing to reallocate those gallons in line with congressional intent. And we face additional exemptions for 2018 and in the recently released 2019 RFS rule. We applaud the examination of an octane standard, but the draft's proposed 95 RON is easily met with today's premium gasoline, which costs consumers about 50 cents more per gallon than regular fuel. A recent report from the Energy Information Administration cites that refiners would only need to make minor operational adjustments to supply the increased octane requirement of a 95 RON baseline fuel. And in previous congressional testimony, refiners stated that they plan to meet the 95 RON fuel standard with a current 10% ethanol blend. Today, ethanol is 25 cents less per gallon than gasoline and was as much as 90 cents lower earlier this year. As I've previously testified, the past decade has shown oil companies will actively ignore economic incentives to prevent market entry of higher ethanol blends. Only by coupling a stable RFS to maintain market access with a significant boost in octane from a mid-level ethanol blend can consumers realize significant cost savings, increased engine efficiency, and substantial environmental benefits. Unfortunately, this draft as proposed will lead to reduced blending of cleaner biofuel, and it will raise fuel costs for American drivers. We commend the authors for following sound science in approving E20, but the draft provides minimal guidance on approving ethanol blends beyond E20. E15 was approved nearly a decade ago, and we are still working through hurdles erected to keep this legal fuel out of the market. This draft should recognize and seek to eliminate the myriad challenges to approving ethanol blended fuels to enable a reasonable pathway for their entry into the marketplace. While one of the draft's primary goals is to make the U.S. fuel supply uniform, it does not unify the availability of ethanol blended fuels above 10%. Simply preventing future actions does nothing to break down state-level hurdles that exist today. This draft may even block a state from moving forward with higher blends. We must avoid backsliding on the progress of the RFS, which has helped launch a more affordable, low-carbon alternative to traditional petroleum fuels. While we do support certain aspects of this discussion draft, we believe it misses an opportunity to lay out a bold vision for the future of affordable liquid fuels and to make a significant impact, restoring growth in America's rural communities and decarbonizing our nation's fuel supply. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Chair, thanks to the gentlelady. The chair now recognizes Mr. Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. You're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Shimkus, Ranking Member Tonko, and members of the subcommittee. My name is Jeff Cooper, and I am the new President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, the national trade group representing the U.S. ethanol industry. I want to thank the chairman and the members of the subcommittee for your thoughtful consideration of our nation's future energy policy needs and objectives. RFA has been an active participant throughout this process, and we have appreciated the opportunity to share our perspectives on the vital role that biofuels can play in our energy future. The draft legislation we are here to discuss today represents an important first step forward in the debate about future fuels policy, and specifically the role of high-octane fuels. Because ethanol is by far the most economical and cleanest source of octane available on the market today, it would seem on the surface that any effort to establish a high-octane fuel standard would benefit ethanol producers and the farmers who supply them. But it's not quite that simple. As currently drafted, RFA cannot support the proposal because it falls short of providing the future market certainty and the clear path to growth that our industry needs. By eliminating the renewable fuel standard requirements for conventional biofuels in 2022 and adopting a no-growth methodology for advanced biofuel requirements through 2032, the draft bill would destabilize the considerable progress our nation has made toward greater energy security, economic vitality, and environmental health. We simply cannot support eliminating the RFS program as the draft envisions without a much stronger signal to the market that ethanol's role in our fuel supply will continue to grow. Even though ethanol is far superior to other octane boosters in terms of cost and environmental performance, a 95 RON standard when paired with elimination of the RFS would not result in increased market opportunities for ethanol. To the contrary, we believe a 95 RON standard in the absence of the RFS or other environmental performance requirements could reduce demand for ethanol. Refiners and blenders would simply meet demand for more octane by increasing reformer severity and producing greater volumes of higher octane hydrocarbons like aromatics, which are often toxic in nature, worsen air quality, and are typically 2 times the cost of ethanol. Thus, consumers would just end up paying more for dirtier gasoline. In fact, a new EIA commission study concludes that oil refiners would have, quote, no problem, quote, meeting a requirement to produce 95 RON gasoline beginning in 2022, and assumes refiners would meet that standard with E10 gasoline. The study found that, quote, no significant changes in refinery configuration or throughput would be required to meet the minimum 95 RON gasoline requirement, end quote. And contrary to testimony previously offered to this subcommittee, the EIA study finds, quote, no industry-wide capital-intensive projects would be needed to meet the requirements, end quote. There are elements of the discussion draft that we do find very encouraging. We appreciate the provision requiring automakers to warrant vehicles built in 2023 and later for E20, and we welcome the requirement that EPA approve an E20 fuel waiver. However, we believe ethanol blends above E20, like E25 and E30, will be necessary to deliver the octane levels that best facilitate greater fuel economy and emissions reductions. We also very much appreciate that the discussion draft again demonstrates this subcommittee's support for addressing the antiquated RVP barrier that is currently keeping E15 out of the marketplace on a broader scale. In closing, RFA strongly believes a high-octane fuel standard can work in concert with, not in conflict with, the RFS. The measures would be complementary, and the RFS would assure that clean, renewable octane sources like ethanol are able to access a high-octane fuel market that might otherwise be closed to competition. With proper oversight and implementation, the RFS can continue to work in tandem with a high-octane fuel standard to continue to drive innovation, support rural economies, and provide cleaner fuel choices at the pump well beyond 2022. We thank you again for starting this very important conversation and look forward to its continuation. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Chair, thanks, gentlemen. And last but not least, on the first panel, we have Mr. Chet Thompson, President of American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers. Sir, you're recognized for 5 minutes, and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Tonko, other members of the subcommittee. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and share the views of the U.S. refining industry on this discussion draft. Let me start by thanking you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Flores, and your committee staff for the incredible work you've done over the last year on this really critical topic. No doubt the easy thing for you to have done was to run quickly away from this issue a year ago. You didn't. You chose to stick it out, and we appreciate it. We also appreciate the release of this discussion draft. Mr. Chairman, when you told us a few months ago this was coming, you promised us it would be far from perfect. You also promised us that all of us stakeholders would find something in it that we loved and something in it that we hate. Rest assured, your premonition was spot on. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're not in a position to support the draft in its current form, but we do think it moves the ball. We think it and hope it will generate momentum for further discussions and eventually statutory reform, reform that most of the stakeholders believe is so critical. As I've testified before this subcommittee on multiple occasions, most recently last April, the RFS in its current form is unsustainable. It's bad for consumers, and it's only destined to get worse if reform does not happen before EPA takes over this program in 2022. I also testified that a proper transition from the RFS to a fuel-neutral 95-RON octane standard would be better for all stakeholders and could better harmonize our country's fuel and transportation policies. A 95-RON standard would help our auto companies improve the efficiency and reduce the emissions of the existing fleet and future fleets and comply with CAFE. It would provide retailers with optionality, to quote Mr. Columbus. It would provide farmers and ethanol producers with the potential for greater market share, contrary to what you've heard already this morning, and it would certainly provide relief for my members from the broken RFS. But most importantly, it would provide relief to consumers, relief in the form of lower prices. Against this backdrop, there are aspects of this discussion draft that we support and those that we don't. So let me start with the positive, what we can support. We certainly support the sunsetting of the RFS in exchange for 95-RON standard, you know, presuming and assuming it's done correctly. After years of study with the autos, a 95-RON performance standard has been demonstrated to be the most cost-effective option for consumers for improving the efficiency of the transportation fleet, at least in the near term. Indeed, there's no other fuel option that is realistic in the time frame we're talking about this morning. We support requiring all light-duty vehicles starting in 2023 to be designed specifically to run on this fuel, one of at least of a 95 octane rating and potentially higher. Finally, we support the comprehensive misfueling requirements and liability protections afforded in the draft. However, we do believe those protections need to be expanded to include the U.S. refining industry. Unfortunately, and again, as highlighted much more extensively in my testimony, there are a few provisions, Mr. Chairman, as you might imagine, we can't support. So let me just highlight a few. First, we absolutely can't support a new 15 billion gallon per year mandate for conventional ethanol. Such a mandate is infeasible. Let me put this into perspective. To hit this mark by 2020, which the draft would require, ethanol blending in our country would have to increase by 700 million gallons. 700 million. Because of the blend wall, which is real, this would require E15 sales to increase by 3,000%. 3,000% in a mere 12, 13 months. This is simply not possible. Nor can we support extending the RFS program until 2032. The program must end when a new 95-RON standard takes effect in 2023. Nor can we support the draft's various E20 mandates. Autos should decide how to harden their vehicles to run on a new 95-RON fuel, not the government. and environmental and technical analysis that support sub-SIM determinations, they can't be short-circuited through legislation. E20 should not be authorized to be released and used into the market until we have a full understanding of what the impact of E20 would be on existing automobiles. Finally, we do not support establishing 98 RON as a certification fuel. There's simply no nexus between a 98 RON cert fuel and the 95 RON that the draft would develop and create. There's already a pathway for EPA and for the autos to pursue to get a new cert fuel, and there's absolutely no reason that this legislation needs to address this issue. So again, in closing, let me say we appreciate your leadership over the last year, Mr. Chairman. Again, Mr. Flores and staff, we appreciate everything you've done. There are real opportunities here. The folks at this table have been at this for many years, and we believe we're really starting to advance, and there's lots of opportunities around a 95 RON standard. We hope this remains a priority for this subcommittee next year. So I look forward to answering any of your questions. Thank you.